thing last time Rafi spoke about Hesek Tara, so I'm going to be sort of continuing that, and as that leads into the next stage, meaning Shivan Akiyam. Okay, so the Rama in Sukkah Fezayin talks about what happens if a woman has a makar. As we know, the only dam nida from dam from makor makes her tmeya, but if blood comes out from a wound, even if that wound is in the makor, so it wouldn't make her into a nida. So the Rama says, he gives a couple of different dinim. He says, if it's a maka she'ena yadua shemotzi dam, meaning we know there's some sort of wound there, there's a scratch, but we don't really necessarily know that that wound is causing blood to come out. So if you just have such a wound, so then you can't be tola on that. And if the woman sees dam, so then she'll be tmeya. However, if it's a makkah, she yadua shemotzi dam, we know she has a wound, and we know this wound or wounds like this cause blood to come out, so then you'd be able to be tola the blood on that wound, and she wouldn't be tmeya. However, if she has, let's say, to make things simple, two makos she'enam yaduam shemotzi dam, and let's say one is in the kosle beis harechem, the walls before you get to the rechem, so that dam is just nothing, and one wound is in the rechem itself, and so that blood, since when that blood will be tame, but it wouldn't make her into a nida, so then that would be a sveik seika, because maybe it came from this wound, and even if it didn't, maybe it came from the second wound. Okay, so in that case, she'd be tahora, even if neither wound is yadua to be motzi dam. Okay, fine. That's not really so important for what I'm talking about. So there, the Piskei Tshuva quotes a tshuva from the Noda B'Yehuda.
Wait, I just want to understand. Your two makos, can you just tell me exactly where the two makos are?
So one is...
Because I'm a little bit confused.
One is
tell
in
me
the,
exactly
One
the
is
case.
In the rechem, in the uterus.
Okay, so once in the rechem, I thought once it's in the, any dam in the rechem makes a tame.
So pashup shot, that's not true.
Because as long as it comes out from that place.
Right, so pashup shot, that's not true, and that if, let's say, someone just take, like, stick a knife or a needle somewhere inside and cut it, pashup shot would not be dam nida. It gets a little tricky sometimes how to define when it's a wound and when it's not. Sometimes it's clear, but it's not a... I think the Gemara, I think, I don't have a need in front of me, but I'm not going to find it, but the Gemara does say one place. Again, it could be not everyone agrees with this, but that's the Pashup shot. Again, it's not really what I'm talking about. One place she says she's Neman to say, you know, I have a
Maka Yeshli Bosa
Maka. Yeah.
So you're saying clearly shows.
Yeah, in Neman Isha Lomar Maka Yeshli B'Makor. Shemena Dam Yotze, Divi Rebbe.
Okay, and that shows she's taller.
Yeah. Maybe somehow some people have a different way, but that's the Pashup shot. So anyway, so in all these cases with different sveikas, maybe it's one suffering, maybe it's a sveik. So the Noda B'Yehuda says, this Ramah is only talking about before the woman becomes a nida. I mean, she's a regular woman, she's tahora, then she sees dam. Now we're not sure, is this dam nida or is this dam macha? So then, she's becheskas tahor. So therefore, since there's a valid suffix here, so we say she's becheskas tahor, she's still tahor. He says, however, if... she had already become Anita, she was Tameya, and nowadays Rechoshish Leverin Zazav and Anita Hesek Tara and Shivan Akiyam. So even if it was already after her Hesek Tara, you should have done a Hesek Tara, which had at least proven that at that moment she had stopped bleeding, and then she sees Dam. So normally that would, again, I'm not sure if we just went over the basic halachos, right? So the basic halachos are a woman doesn't have Siktara, she's a Zava, she doesn't have Siktara, then she needs to count Shimon Akiyam, 7 clean days. So I'm sure we'll have more chaburas about how to count those 7 clean days. What you need to do is that. So if you make it through the 7 clean days, so then she goes to Mikvah and she's Torah. If she sees any Dam during those 7 clean days, so wipes out all of them and she has to start counting again 7 clean days. Okay. So now we have this woman who's in Shimon Akiyam, she sees this Dam, and it might be one of these Makos. So the Nobu who says, in that case, she's Bechezkas Tuma. And since she's Bechezkas Tuma, certainly if it would only be one Safek, so one Safek and she's Bechezkas Tuma, she remains Tumeya. And even if there be a Sfek Sfeika to be Metaher her, so he says that's a big Machlokas Achronim, and it's not clear if we pass in Sfek Sfeika Latahir Bechezkas Tuma is going to be Tahir. So you'd have to be Machmir, even in that case. Okay, leaving that slight complicated factor aside, but basically he says, even after a woman had done her Hefsek Tara, she's still Bechezkas Tuma, and if any Safek that would come up, she's Tumeya. So basically, Shuva, so that's quoted in the name of Nod Yehuda. It seems like the Rekiver Eger also says something similar in Shuva. But the Pesach Shuva quotes Rov Achronim completely disagree with this Nod Yehuda and really like blasts him. The Chassam Sofer and the Chavastas and the Chachmas Adam and some other people there that I'm not as familiar with, and they strongly disagree. And we're going to see what the Machlokas is, what did Nod Yehuda actually say, who's accused of saying things that he didn't say, at least I think. And they say, no, once you did a Hefsek Tahara, so you've proven that you stopped bleeding, so now you're Bechezkas, not Zidam.
Mind Sasam.
It's true, you're still Tmeya because you're just not allowed to go to the mikvah for 7 days, right. But you're Bechezkas, Mind Sasam. And Lehefech, if there's any suffix that maybe you didn't see, we would assume you didn't see until you proved to us that you did see. That's a robot for normal. So just, because I might come back to this, I saw the Badi HaShulchan seems to think that this is still like an unresolved question, meaning like we are choshesh for this Nod of Yehuda and Rav Yeager. But I think we're Avad and Yosef, this Paskin's Rov Achronim disagree, your Bechezus Mayan Sasam, and I think that's how, I see it so recently and that's how he Paskin. And one time when I was talking to Rai Willig, he also seemed just to assume that we don't Paskin like this Nod of Yehuda, that this Rov Achronim disagree. Fine. So, what's the Machlokas? So the Nod of Yehuda thinks that his sheet is just a mefurish tosis, right? He does not think what he's saying is a chiddush at all. So where is this tosis? The tosis is in Maseches Zvachim Daf Chav Tes. So it's actually a very interesting Gemara in terms of Shivnikim. So why is the Gemara talking about Shivnikim in Maseches Zvachim? So where they're talking about Pigel. So the Pesukim seem to say that if someone offers a karbon, v'im he'achol yechal mibsar zevach shamav v'yom hashlishi, and it's a shlamim, so you have 2 days to eat it. But if a person would eat it on the third day, just if you read the psukim literally, so it says if you eat the carbon past its appropriate time on the third day, so the carbon is pigel. Carbon is
So if you eat it on the
third day? That's what the pashtim and the psukim say. Right? That's not Torah Shabbal Pes says. We're going to get them. But if you just read the psukim literally, so it says if you eat it on the third day, the carbon is pigel, the carbon is pasul, is now invalid, and anyone who ate from that carbon is chayv karis. However, the Torah Shabbal Pes was that it's not what the pasuk means. Rather, the pasuk means that it is usher to eat a carbon past its proper time, via yes or no sir, but that wouldn't make the carbon pasul. We'll make it pigle. Rather, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means if when you do one of the dalat avodos, you have in mind at that time when often coming to eat it past the proper time, meaning you're shechting, you're saying, I am shechting this and I'm planning on eating it on the third day, so that invalidates the carbon, and that carbon is pigle, and anyone who eats that carbon even before those 3 days will be chayav karis. So the Gemara is discussing why do we read the pesukim that way, meaning why do we read the pesukim not like the simple pshat of the pesukim. So the Gemara first quotes the Bais Baraisa Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara first quotes Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. He says, Kof aznecha lishmoa, b'machashiv lechol mizivchei b'yom shishikaz medavar. He says, listen to me, the pasuk really means, we're not talking about when you eat it on the third day, we're talking about when you originally had a machshava to eat on the third day. Why must you read the pasuk that way? It's really not the pasuk shat. Because, achar shu kasher yachser v'pasel, it doesn't make sense that someone could offer a carbon, the carbon is now kosher, it's now mutter to eat that carbon. In fact, it's a mitzvah to eat that carbon. And then you're telling me then 3 days later something new happens and out of the blue, lima freya passels the carbon and messes up anyone who's eaten it in that, you know, time in between. That's like too unimaginable. There's nothing like that in the whole Torah. So it's clear the pesukim can't be understood as they seem, and therefore it must be not if someone eats it on the third day, but rather if you originally plan on eating it on the third day. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Then Rabbi Akiva comes and says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, right, so Rabbi Lo says, like, lo matzino is that. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, hey, matzino, if that's your only reason, if that would be our only reason to read the psukim in this, you know, non-pshat way, that would not be a good reason, because we find such a thing in the Torah. Where do we find that? Bizav vizava, v'chuli, you can see the rest of the Gemara. That what? By zav and zava, we find that something can happen, and lima freya apostle something. Now, let me take a step back. Obviously, there's a concept of lima freya in the Torah. But normally a lima frey is I do something now and I sort of like set up some trigger, some mechanism, so that if something later happens, lima frey doesn't happen. So I'm a kaddish, a woman, and I say, and if it rains in a month, so lima frey, we're married. So that we can understand because I did something on day one, so that if something happens on day 30, lima frey will go back to day one. But what we're saying, we don't find anywhere where something can out of the blue, which hasn't been set up, and will affect things lima frey. So Rikyu says, no, we find that by zav and zav. Why? A woman doesn't have siktar. So I'm now explaining the Gemara according to Rashi. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. A woman doesn't have Sigtara. Fine, go to have Sigtara. She counts day one, whatever you have to do to count day one. But she counts day one, counts day two, counts day three. She now has three good days on the books. Then suddenly she sees Dom on day four. So we said that now canceled out all of her Shivani Kim. She should start again. How does that happen? She saw Dom on day four and Lima Freya that canceled out days one, two, and three without, you know, there's no connection between that, right? So Rahir says, we find such a thing that something can happen and it'll Lima Freya apostle things. So therefore, that can't be the reason why we read the Pesukim that way, and therefore, whatever, he has other drushes, other reasons why. Everyone agrees we read the Pesukim as we do. The question is just why. So that's how Rashi explains the Gemara. I'll just read you the Rashi. Okay, whatever, Rashi is not so canceled. Tosas, though, argues on Rashi. Tosas says, no, that's not what the Gemara means. That's not what Rekiva was referring to when he said that we find that sometimes something can mess things up in Lafreya. Because Tosas says, V'kasha, de'enza kari cheskas tara. During the Shiv Nikim, we wouldn't call her the cheskas tara. Ella, rather, what's the pshat in the Gemara? It would be another chabura, but we paskin mixes a yom kukulo, and therefore a zava daraisa doesn't have to count the complete last seventh day, and as long as she counts in the morning, she'd be able to go to the mikvah in the afternoon of the seventh day. So, midrabanan, we don't do that because of this halacha, because what would happen if a woman could go to the mikvah in the morning the seventh day, she's now tahora, she can now have tashmish, she can now eat taros, and then if she would see Dom on the afternoon of the seventh day, that will lima freya mess her up, and now she's chayv karas and the tashmish, and she ate taros betuma, and so forth. So midrabanan, we don't do that, but midraisa, that's the halacha. So Tos says that's what Rekiva was referring to when he said that we find sometimes where Dom can lima freya mess things up. Not when you see Dom during in the middle of the Shivanikiyam, because that's not that you know kari cheskas tara. Rather, it means on the end of the seventh day, when deraisa, you can actually go to the mikvah. You mamish are tara lagamri. You can have tashrish. You can eat trumos and taras and so forth. And then if you see, then that will lima freya mess you up, and everything was now done this. Right? That's how Tosas reads. So the Nebi just says, just read the words of Tosas. Tosas says, he admits it's a machlokas Rashi Tosas, but Tosas says that during the 7 days we don't consider you becheskas tahor. Simple as that. That's what the Novi Yehuda says. Again, there's a discussing the Novi Yehuda thinks that during Shiva Nikim a woman is becheskas tamei still, and therefore if there's any suffix if be machmir. But Rov Achronim hold that you're becheskas tahor. So that's what the Novi Yehuda says. So everyone jumps on the Novi Yehuda, as we said. And
so what are you saying? This Tosus would be supporting the Noda.
That's what Noda Yehuda himself quote. This is what he says. He says this is
It's not a Hiskidish. It's really
that's
a
what Tosus. He says. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So now
people. Because he's applying Zava to a Nida,
which right. Is. Oh no! I'm sorry. We're talking about Zava also. Meaning.
No, he was clearly talking.
Yeah, they're on Zava. Yeah. Just nowadays that we're close to everyone's a Zava, so, right. But right. We're talking about in certain terms of Hilchos right. Zava. Fine. So everyone jumps into view. I say, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. That's the first question. Why doesn't it make sense? Because still, what you said, fine, we'll deal with Tosas in a second. But before the interview, I would have said, she did a hefsik tara, she's becheskas mind sasam, and she's proven that she stopped bleeding. So it's true, she still is Tameya.
Technically,
just because she wasn't allowed to the mikvah for 7 days. But
that doesn't mean she's
becheskas. But right, if you say that she saw Dom, that should be considered a shinui. That's the change right. From the status quo. And we'll come back to, again, that point a little more. Secondly, we're not going to see inside, basically, especially the Chachos Adam, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, first of all, he's against the Rashbam. He quotes Rashbam, which basically says, Beferish, once you do Hazakari, Bechazar. Then he says, forget about a Rashbam. It's a Beferish Mishnah. And he quotes the Mishnah that once you do a Hefsik Tara, you're Bechazkas Tahor. A couple of reasons why it's going to be such a good raya, but whatever. Nida Shabbat ka asma yom shvi. So then Misha says he becheskas tahor. Okay, whatever it is, and there are other places that also seem to say that that no, you're becheskas tahor.
So what daf was that, Misha?
That was Samach. Samach Ches. Okay, we'll see. The Chasam Adam, I think, is a cute... We'll see. We'll get there. And finally, they say, Zvachim, this was... I remember the Chavasas, and everyone says this, Zvachim, this, the Nebbi's Raya is not a Raya Bechlau. Why? So the Gemara is talking about something completely different than what the Nebbi was talking about. Really, we argue the Nebbi who the Chavasas says, and we say that once you've proven you stop bleeding, and we assume you're not bleeding anymore. And again, and if you want to say you're bleeding, you better prove to me that you started bleeding. But Rashi and Tosfos and Zohar are talking about something else. Rashi and Tosfos will both agree that once you do the Hafsek Tahara, you're Bechezkas Tahor, Bechezkas Mayin Sasim, in the sense that we don't expect you to see again. However, Rashi and Tosfos are discussing, in terms of our Gemara, when Rekiva is saying, we find somewhere where you can be Tahor, and then Lamafreya became Tameya. So Tosfos is just saying, since Lamaisa, she was Tameya during Shivanakiyam. So, if she sees during Shiva Nakiyam, that's not, I'll just put this in my words, I have to say it exactly this way, that's not Lima Freya ossering something, or Lima Freya being Matami something. There was nothing here that was Mutter or Tahor before she saw. It's just, now you saw, so now your tumor was going to be extended. But you didn't, there wasn't anything that was Mutter, and someone violated, an ape assuming it was Mutter, and at the time it was Mutter, and then Lima Freya violated it. So that's not true here. Rather, if you want to be such a case, you have to say it's at the afternoon of day 7, and she was Mamish Tahora, and Mutter Batashrish Vataros, and then Lima Freya got messed up. But Tosis isn't saying that you're Bechezka's Tuma in the sense that if you have a Suffolk, we would assume it was Damnita. No, he never said that. And really, to me, that was like, also, we'll see if we have time, think about how the Nebbi learned this machlokas, because really that's, if you see inside, it's really that's the pashup shot. It's like not clear what the Nebbi was thinking. Okay. So to understand the Nebbi a little background, and make things a little worse before they get better. So in terms of the concept of chazaka, let's say following previous status, the two general categories of chazakas. Sometimes we have a chazkas haguf, meaning, I'm sure we've discussed this before, chazaka based on the physical reality, meaning,
most animals.
A woman, exactly. Or let's say a woman is born a basula. So do we think she became a baula? No. Or when did she become a baula? So what's going to happen in the last possible moment? Because why assume a physical change if you don't need to? At the same time, there's also a cheska sedin, a previous status, a halachic status. This thing was aser, so until it's proven to be mutter, we'll assume it's aser. Fine. So what happens if we have a conflict between a cheskas haguf and a cheskas adin? So basically, it's clear in the Gemara in Ksubas and Ayinahim at Beis, we follow cheskas haguf. Basically, the Gemara there is talking about a man marries a woman, and then chuppah, kedushin, chuppah, whatever, that order, and then he finds she has a mum, and a mum that would disqualify the kedushin. So now, and it's such a mum that, let's say, she wouldn't have been born with that mum. It was a mum that developed at some point in her life. So now we have a question. On the one hand, this woman was born without a mum. So we should say that the mum happened at the last possible second, meaning after the marriage, and it was a valid marriage, and they're still married. On the other hand, we should say this woman was born a pnuya. She was not married. She was a single girl. And so we should assume that the marriage, the halachic act, did not take place. So that's a conflict. So it's clear in the Gemara, we follow the chezkas haguf. We assume that the physical change of the mum happened the last possible second, and therefore the marriage took place, and there was a halachic change. Fine. So there are two basic mahalchim of why a chezkas haguf would be better than a chezkas adin in the achronah. The first mahalach is that simply we view physical reality, it's understandable, as kind of more real and concrete. Kind of like halachic reality, we have to sort of like imagine, right? It's not like, right? It's not tangible in the same sense. So, if they're in conflict, it's almost easier to imagine the halachic change as opposed to the physical change because, you know, halacha is, again, it's not the right way to look at it, but let's say the way most people look at it is like kind of like theoretical and like, you know, exists more in our minds than in reality. So since the physical reality seems more real to us, so we follow the physical reality. Or something along the lines. I'm adding my svar, but the Iker distinction is a physical reality versus a halachic reality. Rav Shimon had a chiddush that, no, that's not the main distinction. The main distinction is not physical versus halachic. Shimon just has a yesod. In general, whenever we have sveikos, we follow the makor asafik. We go to the source of the question at hand, the source of the doubt. So, in this case, the halachic status is based on the physical reality, meaning the physical reality is koveya the halach. I mean, if it's this physical case, halach will be X. If it's a different physical case, halach will be Y. But it's the physical reality which causes the halach to be so in this case. So that's why you follow Chezkas Luguf, not because the physical reality is stronger, takes precedence over the halachic reality. It's just in this case, the physical reality is really the source of what the halach is based on, so we follow the physical reality. Fine. Okay. So now we come to the Note of Yehuda. If you look carefully in the Note of Yehuda, not even so carefully, he has a few chuas on this. The Note of Yehuda never said that after Hefsek Tara she's still Bechezkas Tumah. The Note of Yehuda says follows. If Dom definitely came out of her, remember he was talking about when you have all these different makos inside the woman. She saw blood. Blood definitely came out. We're just not sure, was this Nida blood or non-Nida blood? So in that case, you're Bechezkas Tumah. Why? Because he reasons as follows. In terms of looking at her from a physical perspective, physically she changed. Physically something happened. So you can't say, well, let's assume no physical change. There definitely was a physical change. So what? We should look at her from a halachic perspective and assume no halachic change? We should follow her previous halachic status? Well, her previous halachic status, again, this is his understanding of Tosos, was Tumeya. So she's Bechezkas Tumah. So all those Rashbas and Mishnais and all those things which say that after Hefsek Tahor she's not Bechezkas Tahor, of course Nebu says, of course she's Bechezkas Tahor, because those are saying she not as a Hefsek Tahor. So now, without seeing anything happening, should you assume anything happened? No! She's Bechezkas Mayin Sasum, so we assume that she remains Sasum until we know for sure. The Nebu only said it when something physical definitely did happen. And so then we can't look at the physical reality anymore. We have to learn to turn to the halacha. And halachically, she was Tumeya. So I just saw the Shulchan Aruch talks about what happens if a woman does a bedikah and then she puts the bedikah aside, she doesn't look at it. And then, you know, someone goes into the room and decides to finger paint. Then she checks the bedikah, and bedikah's red. So we saw, if there's a tzliya, even on a bedikah, you can mitola it, and she's muteris. So presumably why? I, it's a safek deraisa. So presumably it's because she's Bechezkas Tahor. Right? I think that's the pashut pshat. So I just saw the Bar HaShulchan on that halacha says, you should know that this Ramah definitely is true before she becomes a Nida. However, if this case happened during Shiva Nikiyam, so Ayin, Kuf Pei Zayin, it will be Talui on this machlokas between Note of Yehuda and everyone else, whether she's considered Bechezkas Tahor or Bechezkas Tumah during Shiva Nikiyam. So, I've actually been meaning to write a letter to him, so I don't think that's correct. Because the Note of Yehuda only said she's Bechezkas Tumah if we know blood came out of her. We're just not sure what type of blood. And because then there's no Cheskas Haguf to rely on. But in this case, when she did a bedikah, then she put the bedikah on the side. And now we're not sure. Did blood come out of her? And that's Dam Nida on the bedikah cloth. Or no, did someone spill red paint on her? And really, where Masupak, maybe nothing at all came out of her. So I think even there, the Nobi Yehuda would agree, like these Mishnayos and Rashbas and everything else the Chachmas Adam quotes, that she's Bechezkas Tahor. That's just one har. Fine. So coming back to the Nobi Yehuda, though. So he only said it when something definitely came out of her. So there's no Cheskas Haguf. And therefore, there's only a Cheskas Adin. And therefore, a Cheskas Adin is she's Tumeya. So even still, though, all of the Achronim disagree with the Note of Yehuda. Why? So what's our case? She's a Zava. She did a Hefsek Tahara. And now, during her Shiva Nikiyam, let's say this Dam comes out and we have this stuff. So the Note of Yehuda is definitely assuming that the definition of Cheskas Haguf versus Cheskas Adin is physical versus halachic, which is definitely the classical way of understanding. However, there are a couple reasons to argue with the Note of Yehuda. just means svara. If you hold like Rav Shimon that cheskas aguf, the issue is not physical versus halachic. The issue is you go to the makor hasafi, you go to what the question really depends on. So then you would argue with the Nevi Yehuda still, because you would say still, what does the question depend on? Does it depend on her just prior state, or depends on this dam?
One second.
Take another step back. She definitely saw Dom, as Nodu said. That's the only case Nodu is talking about. Now we're just not sure, did she see Dom Nida, or did she see Dama? So forget what I said about Rav Shimon. So two reasons to argue Nodu. First reason is we said Nodu said, listen, she's Becheskas Tameya, so why Lehefech, the status quo, she's Tameya, so we should say that we should presume that this is Damnida, and therefore that's not a change, because that's just following her status quo. So two reasons to argue on that. First of all, you could argue that, no, that's not considered following the status quo, because the status quo was that she would be Tahora in 7 days, or let's say she's now on day 3. So the status quo was, true, she's Tameya now, but she's Tameya and expecting to be Tahor in 4 days. Now you're telling me she saw Dam, now she's Tameya, but now only expecting to become Tahor in 7 days. So you could have said that alone is considered a shinoi, and so you couldn't call her Becheskas Tuma, and therefore say, and therefore presume that this dam is still, this was dam tame, because that wouldn't be following status quo, that would be a shinoi in the sense of extending the dam nida. Fine, that's one point. The second point is, it's true that physically something happened. And therefore, the Nobi who says, therefore, we must look at her halachic status, and her halachic status was she's tameya. However, you could argue that not every halachic status or every halachic change is treated equally. Meaning what? Let's say we saw before a woman either becheskas pnuya or becheskas mekudeshes, either single or married. So for that status to change, would be a halachic change completely divorced from any physical reality. Meaning, someone would give her a coin, and now she's married. So she would change halachically without changing physically in any way. Meaning, herself, her being, her body, would not change physically in any way. However, sometimes there are halachic changes that come through a physical change. So, just for example, let's say Anita. So, when Anita starts seeing Dam Nida, so it's clearly a halachic change, but it's a halachic change that is through a physical change, meaning she changed halachically because she changed physically, as opposed to, let's say, becoming Mekudeshes, you change halachically without changing physically, right? Or I can make a ned or an as or something, and that was a halachic change without a physical change. So you could have also argued, if we assume that kind of the physical reality is more of a koveya, and we follow the status of the physical reality, we could have said it, argued on the Nehudah as follows. That, again, she was Tameya. Now, Dom definitely came out. And now, we're wondering. So on the one hand, we could say that she saw Dom Nida, which on the one hand is a change in the sense that she's now seeing Dom Nida. But on the other hand, it's not a change because it's following the earlier status quo of being Tameya. On the other hand, we could say we could say that there was no Dam Nida, because that would be seen as more following status quo, because she hasn't seen Dam Nida yet. Why be Machadish as she saw Dam Nida? So the Nodu is assumed we follow kind of the original status of being Tameya. So she's Tameya, so she's Becheskas Tuma. But you could have said that, no, that we prefer to say that she did not see Dam Nida. Why? Because to say that she saw Dam Nida would be a halachic change through a physical change, meaning to keep her original Cheskas Tuma, that's just a halachic status that would remain even without a physical change. But here you want to be Machadesh, a halachic change through a physical change, so we could have said that, no, don't do that, because that, again, is tied to physical reality, and so that kind of lower level Cheskas Aguf should win. Fine.
Huh. I understand. Yep. We know that we're talking about a case where the woman certainly saw Dom.
Yes.
The only question is, was it Dom Nido or Dom Maka?
Right.
So why do you say you can rely on your Cheskas Haguf when you know for sure that there was a physical change? So that that should stop you from relying on your physical chazaka.
Right. No, so what I'm saying is,
something definitely happened.
Right, but I'm saying, let's say there's a Cheskas Adin of, let's say, Eino Roa. And that's also a halachic chazaka.
Right.
So the Noda Huda is saying, but why follow her Cheskas Eino Roa, follow her Cheskas Tuma? So what I'm just saying is, you should follow her Cheskas Eino Roa, and maybe, let's say, if you have to say, put in one camp, it would be a Cheskas Adin. But I would say that Cheskas Adin should win out, as opposed to original Cheskas Tuma, because that Cheskas Adin is tied to physical reality.
Right, but I'm saying your physical reality should not be significant in this case, because the physical reality definitely changed.
I know, but I'm saying, I would say like this.
If it didn't change, then you're right. Then yeah. We presume no change took place. But something happened. The only question is to interpret what happened. So since for sure something happened, so then we have no right to resort to the physical chazaka. And, you know, I think Noda Behuda is correct. And in that case, we should follow the...
Okay, but what I'm saying is that we have two choices. Either she didn't see Dom.
No, she definitely saw Dom.
She didn't see Dom Nida.
Either she didn't see Dom Nida, right.
Right. Which would, on the one hand, follow one Cheskas Hadin,
right.
Meaning what of Eino Roa.
Right.
On the other hand, we could say she did see Dom, which would be following a Cheskas Hadin of Temeya.
Right.
So you have a conflict between two Cheskas Hadins.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, we should follow, there's one of those Cheskas Hadins is not connected to physical reality, meaning we're saying, let's say that's the first chazaka, Cheskas Tuma.
Right.
We should say she's still Tumeya,
right.
And keep halachic reality as it is,
right.
And therefore presume actually a physical change when she saw Damida. Right. Or you could say follow the Cheskas Adin of Eino Roa,
right.
Which says assume no halachic change through a physical change.
But so I'm saying none of those factors should be considerations in this case. Because that's not our shaila. Our shaila is not did she see Dom or not. Our shaila was what the nature of the Dom was. So then why is it so important to talk about the connection of the physical and not the physical? That's not the issue. The issue is not the physical at all.
Saying,
so who cares?
No, let me try one more time. Let's say.
I just don't see why that chiluk should be relevant.
Let's take it the other way. Let's assume she saw Dom. Let's say she saw Dom. And look in terms of the shinui. So on the one hand, that's the shinui because she saw Dom Nida. And that flies in the face of the chazaka of Cheskas Eino Roa.
Right.
Fine. So on one hand, that's one shinui. But if you assume the opposite, meaning you assume that she didn't see, so to some degree, the Noda Behuda views that as a shinui because that is counter her Cheskas Tuma.
Right.
So basically, we're stuck. There definitely was a shinui and a halachic shinui. So what I'm saying is we should take the smallest shinui. Right. In general, that's reasonable. If there is a shinoi, if you're
so
stuck...
What do you mean by smallest? What makes one smaller than the other?
So what makes one smaller is that...
What do you mean by small?
Right, so basically, what I'm saying is one is a shinoi only is in a purely halachic reality, and one is a shinoi in a halachic reality based on the physical reality.
Right. So you're calling that stronger?
So I'm saying we should minimize the halachic shinoi, which is tied to a physical reality.
Why? Because it involves two factors versus one factor?
And in general, we see that we're more hesitant to allow
physical shinoi. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a question of numbers of one shinoi versus two shinoi.
It's physical versus halakha.
Right. And therefore, since in our case, the shaila is not a physical shaila, that's not the point. For sure, she saw Dom, and the only question is interpretation. I don't see why it's relevant to talk about the connection between physical and halakha.
Okay,
that's my point.
Okay, fine.
And therefore, I think Noda Behuda is right.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Fine. So, I have to end in a few minutes.
Okay.
So, one problem with the Noda Behuda is that it seems to be against another first Gemara / Tosos. So there, it seems to be mamash a parallel case. Tosos on Ksuvah Zayin Hamad Beis understands the Gemara as follows. You have a person. The person has... So, briefly, the halachas of Saras are is that to become a full nega, let's say, so it needs to be a white blotch on your hand or whatever the colors are, and two white hairs in the blotch. And halacha is the white hairs have to come afterwards. Okay. So what happens if you're not sure if the white hairs came before or after? So you should say your b'cheskas tahor and assume it happened in a way that you'll remain tahor. Fine. What happens as follows? You are tameh from one nega. Vade, there is a nega. While you have that nega, this second one, the suffix one, arises. And now, our question is...
You for sure had the first
one.
And you have a suffix where there... What's the suffix?
Suffix is, did the hairs come before the blotch or the blotch before the hairs?
Okay.
Someone asked us to know you did this proof. And so now your vade were tameya, and now... We're now going into, now you show the coin the second one. So now what is the coin supposed to do with this second one?
Yeah.
So it seems to be mamish parallel.
It's a suffix.
It's a suffix. Mm-hmm. I mean, and do you say your becheskes tumah becheskes tahor? Why is it? It's mamish parallel. Because on the one hand, you're already tumah. The person was already tummy. So the person is tummy. On the other hand, now we have this suffix of, so to speak, a new tumah, or to extend the tumah. And again, vade, something physical happened. You developed some sort of blotch and hairs. You're just not sure the order and how it happened, so forth.
Okay.
So there, Tosafot says, your becheskes tahor. I mean, we assume that this was not a nega, which would be metame you.
Mm-hmm. So this is the kasha and the no
Yehuda. Kasha and the no Yehuda. And there's sort of, yeah, this is the kasha and the no Yehuda. So
I mean, I would say, if you ask me, there it's a suffix in terms of metzias, what happened first. It's not just a halachic question.
No, I mean, the need is also something. You don't know, did it come from the rechem or did it come from the
tzad? No, because you just said even in the rechem we could be from the maka anyway.
Yeah, but so you don't know. Meaning, is the blood coming out due to the wound or is it coming out because of, you know, the hormones? I mean, that's the suffix. Meaning,
it's also a suffix of metzias, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think so, yeah. I mean, we're not sure, was this her regular period?
What the physical cause,
or it was because she had a wound, or this is coming from the wound. Right, we're not sure the physical cause.
What the physical
cause. Yeah, there definitely is a physical change, but we're not sure exactly
what it was,
yeah. So here too also, definitely some physical happened on his arm, but we're not sure if it happened in a way that would make him tummy. So there Tosafot says, your becheskes tahor. So all the Chavistas people, they like this a lot. And they say, oh, you see that... We should look at the question at hand. This is what I was starting to say earlier. Either we should look at the question at hand for one of the reasons I said that, whatever, you know, whether you like it or not. The other reason at hand, also one more reason I forgot, is to say is that if you understand the point of cheskas aguf is not physical versus halachic, but is that you have to look at what the question depends on, the makor hasafik. So here the makor hasafik is this second nega. I mean, we just need to know, is this nega tamei or tahor? And it's really,
I mean, the fact that he was tamei before is coincidental.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with this.
Right.
Shark.
So even if now they're both halachic chazakos facing off each other, and we should look at the one that the question really depends on. And so too, by Anita, true, the review says physically she definitely changed. So you can't look at the chazakos of guf in terms of a physical sense. And we have two halachic chazakos, you know, going against each other, her chazakos tuma and her chazakos eina roa. But if you go after the Makor HaSafik, you should follow Cheska Seina Roa, because that's really what the question depends on. Did she start seeing Dam Nida or not? Okay, fine. So...
Wait, so are you answering the
question? Not, now I'll answer. Okay.
Yeah. So what's your answer?
There's a lot more to say, but fine. Perhaps just one answer for the Nodi Huda as follows. Nodi Huda again says as follows. Physically, she definitely changes. We have to look at halachic. So halachically, let's assume this is Dam Nida. Why? Because it was Dam Nida, so she's tummy like she was tummy yesterday. Meaning, if I assume this is Dam Nida, right now, presently, has she changed in any way? The answer is no. She has not changed. It's true, now she's going to have to wait an extra 3 days, but that's in the future. We don't care about the future. We want to know right now, if she sees Dam, is that a change or is that staying the same? That's staying the same. She was a Zava, and she's still a Zava. The Nodi Huda actually has a different answer to this Tosafot, but I thought you could answer this Tosafot Nodi Huda as follows. You could say that, but by Tzaras, that's not true. Why? Because by Tzaras, it's true if now he has another Nega, so now he's just still a Mitzora, and in terms of the person in total, there's no change. He was a Mitzora, now he still is a Mitzora. He couldn't go into walled cities, and he still can't go into walled cities. But if we say this second Nega is a Nega, there is a shinui, because there are certain halachos. Now he can't There's an Isser Ksitz to cut off this nega, and I just don't know the halachos of Saras well enough. But I think there are just other halachos that regarding this, right? So if you would say this is a nega, you can't say, oh, that's following the status quo, because that would be a change. That would create certain halachic changes. So there we would say, your becheskes tahor, assume it's not a new nega. And your tahor mitzad the second nega. But by Anita, we assume...
Well, you're saying there are like different levels of Taras? Is there such a
thing? No, I'm just saying, but here, if we pronounce the second nega as a nega, there are now halachic ramifications in the present. For example, I think
regarding
there are other
ones. This nega.
Regarding this nega, for example, there's now an Isser deraisa to cut off that nega. I think there are other things also, I'm just not sure. So therefore, we can't pass again this as a nega. That would be considered a shinoi. That's not following halachic status quo. That's making, halachically, we're changing the status quo. So there we would say you're becheskes tahor regarding that nega, even though you're tamei in general. However, by zava, if we would say this second questionable dam is dam nida, dam zava, so that would not be a change at all. There's no change whatsoever to this woman. Mm-hmm. She was a zava, she's still a zava.
What about the dam? Is it changed regarding the dam?
That's what I was thinking about now. Let me think about that. So that might actually depend on the case, what the suffix is, because that's actually good. It's a good point. So that would depend if the suffix was whether it's a maka in the makor or not. So that dam is tummy no matter what. So then that would get out of it. But if we're still got a maka outside of the makor, then in a chanami, then
this territory.
I'm not sure, unless we would divide the woman and the dam, we somehow would be machalic.
But then you can divide the person from the nega.
You can't, because it's like one physical object. I mean, you can't say the nega on the person is tame and he's not tame. It's hard enough to say, maybe you can't say dam nida's tame and the woman is tower either, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so that was, I guess, like you're saying, possibly one answer for no to Buddha. Okay.
Just